God bless you. Welcome to Harmontown, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out on a... What night is tonight? Saturday? Friday? What the fuck is it? Saturday. Saturday night in Hollywood, California. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
You're applauding yourselves. You're applauding yourselves. It's a special night at Harmontown. I just realized they were reacting to the sash.
No, they were reacting to that dynamic intro I just gave you.
This is one of many reasons why it's a special night. It's because one of our fans made sashes for us.
Aren't they smart?
It wasn't a girl, so retract your awes.
It was a dude.
Prepare your... Dan, Brian, is that an insight? Is he, like, pretending not to know your name?
It's my middle name.
It's your middle name.
Brian?
Please do not feel obligated to wear these. I just came across them and couldn't resist. That's actually only funny if you realize that they say Harmontown on them as well. I stepped on your joke.
That's American
Sean Sackme, a.k.a. Snap the Jap, one of the most offensively named fans that we have.
The delightfully racist sash maker.
Anna Marie von Furley, could you please come up here as an expert sasher and sash Jeff with his comptroller sash? Jeff Davis is the comptroller of Harmontown. Seems like a good time to give him a round of applause.
I love it.
I've never felt more in comptroller in my life. How is everybody tonight? You guys doing good?
Sorry, I didn't mean to. You could have. I'm sorry. I instinctively did this. I was like, don't let someone manipulate you. It's a curious thing about Harmontown is I just want to protect the flock, and sometimes I'll hurt them by doing it. I went to see Jesus Christ Superstar in New York, and I was very taken with how whiny and passive aggressive Jesus was. And I really like that musical very much for that reason.
You mean the actor that played Jesus or the role itself?
The role itself. I think it's written in a very whiny... It's like Judas is the good role, the juicy role. That's the manly, like, protagonist role. It's a tragic hero in Jesus Christ Superstar. But the role of Jesus is like... He really is, like, constantly complaining about being Jesus, and, like, it's a big bummer for him, and no one understands, and he's just constantly standing up and going, like, if you guys had to deal with what I had to deal with, forget it. You know what? If I vanished right now, no one would even care. And then the chorus would be like, oh, what do you mean? Well, don't say that. Hey, come on. Hey, buddy.
Passive-aggressive savior.
But you would be. I'm not taking a dig at either the mythical Jesus, the archaeological Jesus, or Rice and Schwarzkopf. What were their names?
Rice and Schwarzkopf.
Who wrote Jesus Christ Superstar? Andrew Lloyd Webber and Rice-a-roni? Rice.
I want to know more about the archaeological Jesus. They found Jesus?
Well, the cool thing about him is that he didn't even believe in God. He just packed a six-shooter, and that was enough religion for him. You know what a practical man I am. Indie reference. We went on the Disneyland indie ride. Let's not start with the tangents just yet. Can we please center ourselves? Because that was we got our sashes. That was reason number one. It's a special night.
Yeah.
And I want to be very characteristically self-diagnostic and neurotic and say, when I say special, I don't mean good. I'm not saying tonight's going to be the best Harmontown, but it's the most special because I've decided, because I'm not going to bother to look because I'm lazy, that this is our year anniversary.
It feels like it.
Feels good enough. It might have been last week. We had to do two Harmontowns this month because my firing is like, it's just my body is partly loose change and some people are, extra people are gathering it. It's which is fine. I have no problem with that. There's a fracas. Let's show. Those people are already regretting their $10 ticket purchase. There is nothing interesting for me to say. I am Ace Rothstein in late Act Two of Casino.
Wow.
Just smoking and like, and another thing, Mr. Governor. I am third act. What's his name?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
What's the guy that died of heroin? Lenny Bruce. I'm third act Lenny Bruce.
So I think Dan, within the last three shows, you've started off the show by one time comparing yourself to Michelangelo.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Einstein.
Right.
And now tonight, Lenny Bruce.
No, Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison.
Is the middle one.
All right.
Sorry. I hate it when you get shit wrong. I'm a perfectionist.
Sorry.
That's what this show's about. Now, I woke up this morning and I realized I have nothing to do. And I thought that tonight could be a special night that we would not know what we were doing as I stepped onto stage. We rarely do. I don't come up with desk bits. I don't have articles that are too crazy to be true. I have a few thoughts and impulses, but tonight is about weightlessness. And I don't just mean because I've lost upwards of 14 pounds on the 4-hour body diet.
Wow.
You found a way to make it about you.
In the middle of a story, all heroes meet with a goddess. They find themselves at a nexus.
Give us an example. Give us a couple of film examples.
For a Real Genius with Val Kilmer. In the middle of the movie, right in the middle of the story, Val Kilmer has a little ketchup dab on his lip. And he's like listening to the guy that lived in the closet who's going, for the first half of Real Genius with Val Kilmer, they're working on a laser project to get their A from William Atherton, I believe,
right.
Who states very clearly in the first act that he hates popcorn.
Right.
He couldn't be clearer about his hatred of popcorn.
Does that come back to bite him in the ass and something?
Actually, you know what? It does. The weirdest thing is the movie ends with a giant popcorn.
Did he turn his house into a big Jiffy Pop?
Yeah, he did.
They do.
It took genius to do it, but they did. But that's not important. He's their teacher, and they're working on a laser project. They have to make this laser. And then in the middle of the movie, they make the laser. And then Val Kilmer's eating French fries, and he's got a little dollop of ketchup on his lip. And the crazy guy from the basement, you remember this movie?
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
He lived in the pipes in the basement of the campus.
Laszlo. Thank you.
And he says to them, yeah, you made your laser. What do you think it's for? What do you think the government's going to use that laser for? And there's a shot of Val Kilmer going, and he's got like a little ketchup on his lip from eating French fries, and the 80s needle drop like swells, you know, some blazer clad band like kind of hits their crescendo as we truck on his face, and then the second half of Real Genius proceeds. Because at the nexus that is the goddess, the hero has achieved everything that he could possibly achieve, and now he has to figure out what he's gonna do with it. Am I just gonna stand here with ketchup on my lip? We've been doing a year of Harmontown shows. We've achieved the freedom to do what we want, to go to the moon.
And we've got ketchup all over our lips.
We haven't done anything. So I want to take tonight to really recalibrate and figure out what we're doing.
Yeah, we started off with this kind of premise that this was going to be about perfecting society, that we were going to find a way to, where we're going to colonize the moon and take the people that come to Harmontown, we're gonna figure out society's problems and like go and make our own civilization out there. But we had a couple guests to start off with, and we just kind of dropped that. Now we just talk about your hemorrhoids and your bubble bath and things like that.
So have there been any tweets or anything that I think I have to grab a drink. Could you read my brother's email?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Oh, fuck. Who is... I think we get lots of repeat customers. Who has not been here before? By applause. By applause. Okay, so some of you, many of you are familiar with Dan's brother, Bones Harmon, right? Yeah, his name is Doug, but he goes by various nicknames throughout his life.
Bones.
At one point, he was Dart Vader, because he liked darts. And he made his family call him Dart Vader. What were some other ones?
My favorite part in his development, he was like 15 and I was 10.
He's like a couple, oh yeah, 5 years
He
old.
Started hanging out at a pool hall down the block from my mom's place. And he got really...
At 15 years old?
He got really into billiards. Well, they had also like a Space Ace machine and a Pengo. And he decided that he was really into billiards. So he went and got his own billiard cue. And that you kind of swivel together right. so that he could play people in pool and have his own pool cue.
Yeah.
And he also got a iron-on letter sweatshirt that said Pool Shark.
What a
That
dick.
Was his identity.
Pool Shark. I was at the drawing room is like our favorite little local shithole watering hole. And they have a dartboard there. And there's dart champions. Like they actually have a league there. It's one of those... electronic machines. It's not like a regular horsehair like quality board, but it's one of those electronic machines. And people come in and they take it very seriously. And I played a guy there. I'm not great at darts. I'm okay at darts. But if I see somebody, there was a guy that came in and he had a tank top on and it was not hot. It was winter time in Los Angeles. It was chilly out. Like, and it was cold in the bar. Bars are generally kind of, you know, the air conditioning is on. The tank top was more there just to let you know that on both of his shoulders he had tattoos of darts. And he was a piece of shit at the dartboard. And I beat him with absolute happiness and arrogance. So yeah, you don't fucking put darts in your arm. And if you do, be the world's greatest dart player. And if you lose and you have tattoos of darts, be cooler about it. We played for a drink, and I beat him twice, and he fucked off into the night. Never fucking bought me that drink.
Well, let's have a guest reader come up. Who in the first few rows, like, just show your hands if you feel that... Maybe you were in high school forensics. You feel like you have an okay handle on kind of cold reading.
Or maybe you weren't, and maybe this is the time to, you know, to try your hand at public speaking. You know, if
Jesus, I'm pouring sweat. I'm like a fucking, like, Harlem jazz. Like.
You know what? Those sashes don't breathe, man.
Snap the jap. Your sash is as constrictive as the untoward racial tension of your name.
What's his real name?
Sean Sakame.
Sean, show yourself. Is he even here? Oh, there he is. Oh, Sean. All right.
Yeah.
There he is. Stand up.
You did great.
Nicely done. Next time, make sashes for everybody. Do we need music? Should I be looking up a song to play for the background of
this? Can you play something soft?
Like something mellow and like okay, let me find something. Some kind of like.
Is there a male performer here who is capable of cold reads? Yeah. Okay. What's your name, sir?
Adam.
All right.
Hold up one second. I have to find the song. You guys get to know each other. I'm gonna find a song. Okay.
Oh really? Oh. Puberty is hitting you quickly.
Here, I'm waiting for puberty.
Oh. Okay. He was one of Chang's bodyguards in the place I used to work. Show that.
I think I got the song. I don't know what email this is, but
it should be very ambient. This is just an email from my brother. I don't know if this will wash, but
all right, I'll do my best.
The subject is you sucking.
You did okay. June 3rd.
Hold on. Wait for the music. Wait for the music, Jack. All right, here we go.
Regarding you sucking, June 3rd, 2012, 4:20 a.m. I wanted mom and dad to meet their granddaughter, so we've had a couple visits. Thought I'd let you know. Once an hour, mom mentions how smart you are. I'm not exactly sure of the equation, but anyhow, my daughter is smart because you read books when you were her age. Does no one else remember that I read high school level books when I was in grade school? Anyway, she said someone put you in the closet with books. I hope it wasn't too scary. And I'm proud you made it out of the closet. Thank you for my daughter's brain, and thanks for emailing once in a while. You drooling dick puddle of chimp semen. P.S., you know, if you think about it, I'm smarter than you are because I smoked pot and dropped out of high school. You didn't smoke pot and drop out until college. Why can't a brother get any cred around here? P.P.S., mom is worried about your liver. I think she'd feel better if you smoked more dope and drank less vodka. Just a heads up, sent from my iBone.
Is it Adam or is it Adam? Adam. That was a good musical selection. What is that?
La Vie en Rose.
So let's just focus and become weightless and take a step back. I did do my brother proud today, and I did get wailing high. I really did. I cleaned out my whole house, and I found my old bong from when I was 25, and I went and I bought some screens.
You misplaced a bong for 13 years.
I was really high.
Where it is.
Jeff found a note on a whiteboard in my apartment once, and I was living in this one bedroom apartment in Los Feliz, and we were both getting high. That's okay to say, right? We both have prescriptions.
Not me.
Okay. Well, as a person with a prescription,
I say nope to dope and ug to drugs.
Jeff is very nauseous and sleep deprived all the time. So you found this whiteboard thing, and it said, "Dear not high Dan." Don't get high so much. It makes you feel like you're going to have a heart attack. Signed, Hi Dan. And it was written on a refrigerator board.
I was just wandering around his apartment, and there it was. I'm like, I read that, I'm like, that's forward thinking.
And at the time, like, Inagata DeVita was playing. I was high. I was like walking around like, and Jeff said, what's with this? And it's a note, and I was like, and Jeff's like, so what's the deal? I'm like, well, I'm not going to listen to that guy. He was high. It's a real story. It really happened. Other wonderful things happened in that apartment, like the time that I was living with this girl, Dawn. Wonderful young lady.
Let's bring it up.
True patriot. She was in the bathroom, like brushing her hair. or studying for her LSAT. Ladies, I don't want to create like a stereotype with my story. So there may have been a book there too. It just sounded weird.
You don't have to feminize the bathroom.
The truth is, she was primping in the bathroom, and it was a tiny little apartment, and I saw her in the bathroom, and I said, I'm not making this story short at all. I said, I'm gonna go eat something. And she said, okay, and kept brushing her hair. And I walked into the kitchenette, and I started doing as I do. I started singing a little song to myself. And it was a falsetto kind of song because I was grabbing a little plate instead of a big plate. So I started singing, when you have a little food, you just need a little plate. When you have a little food, you just need a little plate. That's all I was doing. It was like I was a choir boy. It was just sort of like...
I like the kind of strange Gregorian...
It was kind of like... I was finding
diminished
it.
Fourths.
We all do this. We all sing little ditties and kind of get focused on one. I was kind of into it. And the whole time I had a mental map of where I was and where my girlfriend was. She was in the bathroom doing something. And I was just singing this song and my back was to the doorway of the kitchenette. And as I turned around, I saw her. She had heard me singing in this falsetto voice, and she had decided she didn't want to disturb anything, but she wanted to listen to the song.
She was like Jane Goodall.
So she was crouched behind the stove.
Day seven.
And she,
a new behavior
she had become so amused that her face was bright red, and she was like, because she was trying not to laugh because she was just listening to this stupid song. And so I turned around, and she had been doing that the whole time. And when I saw her, I'm holding a plate, and I went, but more feminine than that, more like weird, like more Damon Wayans, like senior, like in an 80s movie, where it's like, and the plate went flying. But it's very difficult to describe this because it's like a photon becomes a photon and a gluon the bonds with a neon, and it all happens at the center of the universe at the same time. Because I went, and she had been crouched down, and then she was suppressing her laughter. So when I did that, she went. From my perspective, I turned around, saw something that scared me, and it turned out to be my girlfriend who was crouched like a hobgoblin, bright red, and making like this weird hobgoblin face. So as I recovered from my adrenaline shock, I went, "What are you doing?" And she answered in the moment and went, "I'm peeing." Because I had made her laugh so hard she was peeing. So then this is the part that I have to swear is true, and I have witnesses to the evidence. That made me laugh so hard I shit my pants. People hear that story and they go, "Why aren't you married?" That's enough for a whole, just keep on, it doesn't matter.
But the epilogue is Dino comes over, right?
Well, that's the reason I remember it, oddly, because Dino came over.
How do you forget a story
like
that?
I don't know, it's just like, it all...
How often do you shit your pants?
More often than actually it happens more often probably
really?
Than...
So you have forgettable pants pooping stories.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I could tell you the ones I remember, but I also feel there's probably a bunch where I'm like, fuck, I shit my pants. It doesn't happen to you? Like, it'll happen at the weirdest times. Like, before before 8, it just happens because it happens. And we really have to give children make a note of this. We have to give children a break on this. They're not choosing to shit their pants. They have the little muscles.
Poop my pants a lot.
After 8, from 8 to 39,
I'm having trouble
it's
relating.
Always just, you think it's a fart. That's it. It's every story. I just think it's a fart. It feels the same as a fart. And I just go like, "Well, this is going to be great, man." The worst one was you
gambled and lost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it never seems like a gamble. There's no double zero on the roulette wheel, you know? I don't know. Like, well, why? There's no purpose. It's like, well, why would I shit my pants? I'm not sick. I didn't eat a fucking like truck full of wheat. Whatever makes you shit.
Truck
I don't know.
Full of wheat.
I don't know. The opposite of cheese. I kept thinking, what's the opposite of cheese?
Oh, my God. I just shit my pants. Why? I just ate a truck full of wheat.
I work at a farm, and I just take it in, and I'm the guy in the harvesting truck.
I was so high, I ate a truck full of wheat.
Jeepers Creepers was chasing me from the... And I ran through a field, and I guess it was just like sort of a residual wheat accumulation. And next thing you know, I'm a chronic diuretic. Wheat, stay away from it, or you shit your pants.
Dino comes up.
Dino came to the apartment, and he saw two soaked pair of pajamas that we had kind of like hand washed and hung over it was a woman's pajamas and a man's pajamas. He's like, "What happened there?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, the weirdest the opening of a Paul Thomas Anderson movie happened is what happened. Something that requires diagrams happened. Pretty crazy.
Also, there was a time I was same apartment, different girlfriend. Robin was there, and we're sitting watching TV in the little front room. And if you want to see this apartment, go watch Channel 101. Anything like Laser Fart, Computer Man, it all takes place with the orange sofa and the white walls. That's the place. And we're sitting there, and Robin gets up and says, "Dan, hey, Poo Poo Bear, I'm going to go into the kitchen and make you a snack. You want a little snacky Poo Poo Bear?" And Dan's like, "I can get a snacky Poo Poo Bear. I'm kind of hungry." And I was like, ooh. So I'm sitting there watching this go on. And she runs off to make him some cottage cheese. Not make him. She doesn't make cottage cheese. They didn't live in a cottage. But she goes, and she comes back with a little plate. A big dollop of cottage cheese and these beautifully fanned out canned peaches, you know, gorgeously arranged in a little array around the top of the thing. And she brings in the room, and Dan goes, kind of rolls his eyes and grits his teeth. She goes, "God, what the fuck? I, goddammit, I fucking hate that face. You make that stupid poo-poo face." And I was like, I'm just sitting there digging it. I'm Jane Goodall for this one. And Dan goes, "Look, I know you're a good girlfriend for making me the cottage cheese and going the extra mile of putting the peaches on top. And I know that makes you a good girlfriend because you're trying to make it extra special and beautiful for me. And I love that about you. But we've had this conversation like 4 times. I don't like the peaches on the cottage cheese because the juice from the peaches goes in to the cottage cheese and makes it runny and watery and it's gross. And I know that you're a good person for doing that. But I just don't understand how many more times we're going to have the cottage cheese and peaches conversation. She goes, well, then just say that. Then just say that. Don't, I hate when you make that poo-poo face. And Dan goes, that's a stupid thing to hate. Abraham Lincoln hated slavery. What are you going to talk about in heaven? And I sang a little ditty that went, don't date Dan Harmon. Fucking awesome. With one swoop, you took her right in the face. She would have went, everyone and wandered off. That's the best.
We didn't time this right.
No, I'll do it.
You talk, I'll make you a drink.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah. Thanks. He's a big fan. He's Watson to my Sherlock.
I should say.
You guys have seen those movies, of course, where Sherlock Holmes is so smart he can beat the shit out of people. It's insane. Do you realize that, like I don't know, if there's like super duper Dan Harmon, Rob Schraub fans, then you're familiar with a thing we did in 1999 called Heat Vision and Jack, which was Jack Black was a Jack Black was an astronaut, he's the smartest guy in the world, blah, blah, blah. We tried to write a movie version of it a long time ago, and it was like, saw Sherlock Holmes, it was like, this is the bit that I was doing. Like, the bit was that he's like he can, like, you know, he gets really smart, he's so smart he knows how to beat the shit out of you, which is not, because that's not really smart. That's the joke, but their joke is a blockbuster film. They made a sequel.
I want to see it.
Are they good?
I haven't seen them. Are they good?
They're not good. But
people like them. By applause. Who likes those movies? Are good? Three guys.
It's like with media, with television and movies, it's like...
Oh, and a girl. Sorry.
You throw enough money at these things. It's like these people are so handsome and charming. And you love Robert Downey Jr. You love Jude Law. Is that his name?
Yeah.
That poor guy.
This is not funny, but like that strikes me as a movie that they just wrote a movie and they added the title to it because you have to add a recognizable franchise to something to make it sellable.
I don't think that's true because this movie would have had to have been called Action in the Queen Victoria's Alleys. You know, it wouldn't. There wasn't something that I believe that with other movies where you go like, this isn't Tremors 3. This is just a regular movie about aliens invading Las Vegas. It was called Lucky 7 from planet Saturn, and you added Tremors aliens. Anyways, speaking of Prometheus, did we talk about...
And again, I haven't seen it and won't. I don't want to see that.
I am going to write a movie. It's a prequel to the Die Hard mythology. And... Thank you.
He's joking, but your applause will make it actually happen.
It's called Nakatomi. And it's not, you know, don't go there expecting to see anyone say yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. There's no walkie-talkies in it. It's shares some DNA with Die Hard, I guess.
This is how Dan pitches things to studios. Hey, Dan, great. I'm glad you could come. Let's hear about your new project.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half of you watching guys discover a puddle of black goo that turns into a skyscraper, a cop, and a terrorist. Right at the end.
Ooh, my wife's leaving me. Maybe, starting to.
I think I'll enjoy people shooting glass later.
That was my Alan Rickman. That was bad. That sounded a lot like a toothless, retarded Sean Connery. Something happened.
Now, can we hear your Sean Connery?
Most things down here don't react well to bullets.
That's not bad.
It's all right. Thank you. How many Sean Connerys have you heard?
Come on, give me someone else. I heard Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
I got a Pringle for a fever. Come on.
Don Knotts.
Don Knotts. Wow, Jack. Don Knotts merging into Bill Clinton.
All right.
Well, Jack, you gotta pay the rent.
comment otherwise, it's not clear what the inflation is.
Little George Bush.
Popeye, right at the end.
Popeye. Now, finish off with Rosie Perez, because I know you do a good Rosie Perez.
All right. So go from who to Rosie Perez?
Popeye into Rosie.
Hey, oh, you don't do that to me, okay? Give me some spinach, girl. I'll stab you in the eye, motherfucker, because I'm Spanish.
Why are you a writer?
You have why waste this?
You could have a show.
Yeah.
That's the best.
I don't want this to be I don't want Harmontown to be a sad place. I think it should be a free place where we're free to.
She's clearly a Harmontown fan. Also, she was the only girl that clapped for the Sherlock Holmes movies.
I'm a major addict of the Tumblr blog about me called Having Changed. There's a blog about me, and it's about you too and our relationship.
Really?
Everything we do together, every ice cream we get, every kite we fly, every Insta we gram is chronicled on this
every
Tumblr blog.
Every move you make, every breath you take.
And I really, really hope to God that the person that maintains that blog isn't here and it doesn't get back to them, because then they won't stop right away, but it'll be the death of it. But I can't think of a cooler thing. I think every single person in the world should have a Tumblr blog about like everything. If you just take a picture of yourself brushing your teeth, and then 30 seconds later, it's like it's a Tumblr entry. He's brushing his teeth. And it's just like, so-and-so like this. There's like a heart with 35 after it. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do when this stops. I may...
Well, because you're overly obsessive about reading the comment sections in reviews of your show or things you do, which I think is just insanity. Like, to go read the comment section of anything, because it's always a bunch of just dicks. Like the people that write comments are generally not good fans, good reviewers, or people that have some weird axe to grind, and then it devolves into some sort of weird racist conversation.
But then there's all these wonderful people. My girlfriend Erin McGathy, who's hit podcast top 20 comedy podcast cod piece. Oh, speaking of Chevy Chase, I have a voicemail. I just did Chevy on the podcast, like a con piece.
You're going to become him, you know.
Yeah. I want to write a book about this, just called Conversations in a Trailer with Chevy Chase, where I tried to convince myself I wasn't. But that's how. Yeah, anyways. My girlfriend got a Facebook message, I think, from a couple girls who tracked her down. She used to be a camp counselor for kids and stuff, and they just heard her podcast. And they just wanted to write her a letter and say, we're juniors in college now, and you're very inspiring and charming, and it's great that you're doing this thing and all this stuff, and a very touching letter. Like, that's what it's all about, much like the hanky-panky. No, totally unlike the hanky-panky. The hanky-panky is just about putting left and right things and stuff. What entertainment is all about is... oh, shit. Hokey-pokey.
Yeah. I didn't have it queued up. Boy.
That's another topic we could talk about. My brain is disintegrating. Like, I'm not.
No, you're losing it.
Yeah, I'm not on it anymore. But I think that if I play enough video games, everything's going to come back, and I'm going to... I've been taking some very promising meetings, Jeff. It's very exciting.
I heard your pitch voice. It sounds good.
Yeah.
Movie, but you know, it's not gonna be a guy in a suit jumping around a bunch of cardboard skyscrapers. We have the state-of-the-art technology. It's motion capture. He's gonna be a real reptilian monster in keeping with the scientific laws of the current census.
Who wants to see your Godzilla movie? Are you retarded? You fixed Godzilla. You're a genius. Oh man, god damn it.
What were you talking about before Hanky Panky?
I can't believe I forgot the Hokey Pokey podcast. Some chicks she knew contacted her, made her feel good. Whatever. That's what it's all about.
So the story didn't lose steam. It just didn't matter to you. You just lost interest.
I wanted to ramp into a forced sort of emotional expression of how much I value the fans, and to make them go aw, because I'm not funny tonight. I thought I would tug
at their heartstrings. And Dan discovered that there are Tumblr blogs that are just dedicated to the daily, the quotidian shit that Dan does. Rather, like, oh, Dan's having a sandwich.
It's like Dan's gonna have.
And they make a gif. He's like, hum, 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 and the people like that. And his little heart's going above it. Like, and people like, oh, they like that Dan ate that sandwich. And Dan, we're all having a conversation. It was me, you, Aaron, and I think, were you there? And Dino, and we're sitting there, and Dan just completely went like to Neverland, like or to Oz, and it was just looking at the thing, and his big smile came across his face. He goes, "Sorry, guys, like this is going to be the next 72 hours of my life." Like you go through those things, you're going back through time of every picture that you've ever posted or anyone's ever posted of you, and it's this big love fest, and there's none of the negativity that goes along with being, you know, on the bottom of a YouTube.
Yeah, they're never like day eight. I found out his butt stinks. Oh, he's his hair everywhere, his hair all over.
Well, you don't post those photos though.
No.
Start doing that shit and find out.
All right. Well, we got a cameraman here. Maybe we'll take some after pics for my new diet.
We should have done meeting with the goddess. We should have been taking pictures of you if we'd known all along, and have like this, you know, like this like timeline of you know, how we both look.
Yeah.
As the circles under my eyes get bigger.
Who could have predicted my dramatic weight loss?
I mean, would you look at this guy?
It's amazing.
you were notably bigger than you are right now.
Yeah. Dan. So imagine like a Martian came down, like, what are these people? Who are they going to see? What's so important about Harmontown? And it's just like, this is just quiet. And it's like, no, was I fatter in January?
You
were wearing Durker pants. Well, yeah, but I went just straight to my thighs, and everyone's just like texting. These humans seem to be directionless and weightless. They seem to have met with their goddess.
Now,
send them the cancer
what's
cure.
What's the next step? Assuming that you guys know what he's talking about, it's the Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. So what is this the step after meeting with the goddess?
We can't... how can we know, Jeff? We have to figure it out ourselves. That's the whole point.
No, I'm saying, but like mythologically, it's what?
It's the atonement with the father, yes, I would say. Now we have to grapple with... We have to decide tonight what we're going to do from now on. And then we have to pay the heavy price for that. I'm assuming in attendance numbers.
But I would say that, you know, knowing Dan for a long time, Dan's a very intellectual guy, very emotional internally, and it's very very rewarding to be a friend of Dan's. And also, I think that if you're fans of the things he's made, take five, Dan. I'm talking about you. If you're fans of things that Dan's made, you sense that Dan is in them. When you watch the characters on Community, they're all Dan. Like they're all versions of himself and that thing. And like Dan gives a lot to people. And I think that coming here and sitting here, like ideally, people would sit here and watch you get up there wearing your stupid sash and drinking your vodka and talking about your butt. That it somehow manages to be redemptive, because there's something very charming and human about somebody getting up there and revealing all those things about themselves.
Right. I think that all that goes without saying.
Well, we'll cut it out for the podcast.
All right, Adam.
Yes.
There's another email from my brother that came a week earlier than that one. Will you just give this one a quick read?
Do we need music for this?
The subject line is again, you sucking. Yeah, whatever music was.
Well, I've got Daybreak pulled up, so we'll just go to Daybreak.
You sucking. 4:38 a.m. Is this the same day, or is this on? Okay, so it's this time.
Start from the top.
Okay, because the last email was sent at 4:20 a.m. and this one's sent on 4:20. So I think he has like a theme going.
Do you want something different, more emotional?
That's a little aggressive.
Okay, let me. I got you. Give me 1 second.
What did you play last time?
That was Lovey and Rose. But let's try something else.
Something by Enya would be.
Good. I don't have any fucking Enya on my. this might be good. I like this.
Hey, fucker. I think you'd be a millionaire if you wrote for a video game franchise with a likable but gruff protagonist. B-U-T-T, gruff. Sorry. Investigate. And when you're a millionaire because you follow my advice, email me back, you fuzzy back shit knocker. Hey, I see you're dabbling with digital video again. Are you gonna make some more home videos about farts? Okay, let's have a serious brother moment. Yeah. So I was just rubbing my balls, and I was thinking, these balls are so big, smooth. And then I just start to think about your balls while I was rubbing my balls. I imagine your balls are tiny and wrinkly, like a lemon that didn't get enough sun. Good times. Good times. I'll email you again in a few months, you know, just to prove I'm funnier than you. You know. Because of what with the ball jokes and stuff. It's just like you're here on the toilet with me. This was fun. Did you ever notice you have a small head? I mean, look at Al Roker's head sent from my eye bone.
Okay. Okay, I'll take that. Another hand for Adam, the bones reader.
Adam has an app coming out on the iPhone where you can subscribe to all Bones emails read in his voice. Yeah, he really gets the better of me in those missives, doesn't he? He really gives me the old Judd Apatow talking to Mark Brazil. The old touche. The old I always feel like I'm at the card table next to the Algonquin round one. Like, I'm not allowed to hang out with Groucho.
Yeah, I like that he has it's a dialogue to himself. Like he's just
like, I'm not gonna wait for the response. Hey, dipshit, you still a faggot? I know you are. Just kidding. Let's get serious. My balls are serious. They look like your head. Your head's a fucking dick.
Hey, look, we're having a lot of fun here, but let's
yeah. Cool it down.
I didn't come here to tell ball jokes. He's retarded. He has kids? He's a father.
Yeah, he's 5 years older than me. He's got a niece that I've never met.
No, you have a niece.
I have a niece. Yeah, right.
And she does the hokey pokey. Right.
He did some hanky panky. I gotta. Yeah. I think there's some circuits, maybe loose, wobbly, maybe kind of burnt out in my head. I'm always trying to figure out if it's genetic or if it's nature or nurture. But I know that my parents and my distant family, they all seem kind of reptilian to me. But I think it must be me. I think they seem like very volatile, emotional people, and they'll write me things, and they're very excited and emotional. And I remember being in my house growing up. My mom and my brother were very emotional with each other. Some would say Freudianly emotional with each other. I felt like there was a
didn't your mom and your
connection.
Brother, your mom
had.
And your brother had some sort of weird silent seduction thing going on.
Yeah, I think they always felt like they were kind of like
fucking.
I don't think they were fucking. But I felt like they were always thinking, like, what if we could? I always felt like they were in Against All Odds or something.
They were the Sam and Diane.
Yeah, that they were like that they were one family scuba trip and a shark attack from fulfilling their dreams. That maybe in some post-apocalyptic scenario, it would be necessary for them to have to procreate the species. And they seemed game for it. They were always hitting and caressing. And
like, for instance, like
I don't know, like what. Oh, the so- oh, God! Thank you, Aaron. Yeah, I was telling my brother. I did this thing in the bedroom. Aaron was laying in bed, and I put a sock over my dick and balls. Who hasn't done that? The Chili Peppers have done that. You haven't done it. You have a vagina, ma'am. It's like you're holding a sock in the morning and you're naked. And like, I'm pretty sure every guy in here, you don't have to admit it, but you see if it'll fit over your whole thing and it's hanging down. Because I've seen
again,
that.
Again, haven't done it.
You haven't done it?
No.
All right, well.
We lead vastly different lives.
That was about, I thought that would be the once upon a time. Like, oh yeah, we've all done that. My brother used to do it in front of my mom. Like, that was. He would like run into the. We'd be watching like Happy Days, and my brother would run like, and he was like, I feel like he was like 13 or like 15 or something or 28. I just remember him as a big kid.
Yeah. There's a 15-year-old playing in the U.S. Open right now.
And he would run. He would run through the living room like this, and my mom would go, "Oh, stop it!" I don't know, man.
My parents had I was born. My mom was 41. They were both 41, and so they were a little bit older. They'd each been married once before. They had my brother and I, so they'd each had two kids. So they kind of made all their parenting mistakes. So I think we got the good version of parenting because they'd already like fucked up once before. And so when they had us, they were adults, and their hair was getting a little gray, and they were just groovy and mellow. But it was also the late 70s and early 80s, and they had these really swanky parties, like fondue parties and shit. And all the guys looked like the Marlboro Man. They all had mustaches and shit, and they were like cool, and like everyone could ride a horse, and like the women all smoked. Like they were like my mom's friend Lorraine, she'd be like in a full cocktail dress, like from, you know, like someone from Auntie Mame, and she'd be like in the kitchen, like smoking like a Virginia Slim and stirring the hollandaise for the fondue, like it's like an ash going in a thing. It was awesome, and so they were kind of, you know, I looked up, I thought this is a real cocktail party going on there. But we were little kids, and my brother used to. We would be sequestered. Like we'd make an appearance. Hey, these are the kids. They're going to bed. Now we can go be adults and get drunk and talk about adult things. And we would go to bed, and my brother would take off my pajamas. He would strip me down. He was 3 years older than me. Bill Davis would strip me down and take my pajamas and run down the hallway into the big opening. Like, we had this big, like, kind of giant living room. It was almost like a dance floor, and the adults were gathered. And he would throw my pajamas into the middle of the foray. And I would run naked out there, and grab him, and it would get a big laugh, because like, the kid's running out, like my older brother fucking with a kid, and I was, you know, 3 or 4 with it. And I'd run back in. And we kept doing it, and then like the laughter would peter off after a while. You know? I had my older sisters from my mom's first marriage. I have nieces that are, one of them is 2 years younger than I. So we would bathe together when we were really little. So I got this, you know, this male-female anatomy lesson when I was a little kid, bathing with Stephanie. And I would see the differences between the male and female anatomy. And at one of the parties, I just emerged, like, all the adults are drunk and smoking. And I walked out into the middle of the party and was like, just put my hand up and just stopped. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was gonna lay something I'd learned on them. I was gonna lay it down for them. And I was like, everybody, boys have wee-wees. Girls have crack-wees. And then I, to abject silence, and I walked back down the long hallway, and I got to my room, and then I remember just applause. And I was certain that I had done a service.
Yeah. So my parents were there.
Because you wonder why people are fighting. Why is mom and dad always fighting? And why is my sister fighting with this guy?
Why is the living room always dirty?
Yeah. Crack wheeze.
Oh, I thought you meant like, because I like the, with my parents, like their furniture was magazine stacks. Like they would just, you would just, the stacks of shit that they wouldn't throw away. They, you just put shit down on top of it. Like, well, that hoarders show. Like you see that. And then somebody would come over. The word company would happen. Like, we're having company tonight. And that it could happen randomly, but that meant clean the bathtub, clean the toilet, get this shit off of the living room floor. What is this? Like, my parents would look at their own shit and go, what is this? What's going on? We have company tonight. Like, they'd all of a sudden, for 24 hours, they'd become healthy, normal people and, like, white glove themselves.
Hoist
and
that
go,
yard
this
arm.
Is garbage. Like, what is it? There's no Skippy peanut butter. It just says peanut butter on a white label. They're going to think we're abusive to our children. But they'll turn that around and make a fake Peter Pan logo. Everything. It's just like, put Willie Nelson 2000 on. Buy a new record player. I don't care what the fuck we have to do. This is like, this is the big deal. And then everyone would come over. They all had mustaches and, cause it was the 70s. They all looked like, what's it? Barney Miller. I was trying to think of the cast of Barney Miller. Or Debbie Carapie in Cincinnati. Like, I was like having a 70s party with like cocktail glasses. And that's where I would shine. I would like come out in my footies and like, I'd go, hey! And everyone would go, what's going on? And I'd go, how don't you tell me?
Gotta dance.
It didn't take anything, and they'd be like, whoa, what's this guy's name? I'd go, you tell me. I'm not telling. And you just, like, fucking dance around. But the remarkable thing is that my parents would, like... Who they were powerless. Like I had the Nielsens, so they were like, I can't. There's nothing I can do. So they were like, ha, Daniel, go to bed. And then, but then Uncle Morty and Francis from marketing or whatever would go like, no, get him out. Hey, come on. What's your opinion about spaghetti? Spaghetti, you tell me. And everyone's like, oh, this kid's the best. And my dad would be like, he's the best. And then eventually I'd get tired and go to bed, but I'd fucking killed, man. I couldn't wait to turn 18 because as I understood it, like that's when you get to leave and the whole world was waiting out there. That's where all those people came from. I was just trapped in this dirty house with stacks of magazines used as card tables, and like then every once in a while they'd go, everyone fake it, and they'd all, everyone fill the airlock with 8 people from the real world, and they loved me. So I was like, I gotta get out there, make them happy.
My sister Pam, who is she's like about 20 years older than I, because she was my mom's first marriage, and she got married to Marty, this really nice, lovable guy. He looked like Mario from the from the Super Mario games. He was really pleasant and easygoing. Turned out later on that he was a chronic liar, and they got divorced. He turned out to not be so hot. But at the beginning stages, we all loved Marty. But the first time I met him, I think I was 4, and I had to put a suit on, and I hated putting a suit on back then. I remember just like memories of me like when I'm 4, like, God damn it, putting a tie on, like this is so stupid. But it was also it was the 70s, so it was like I had a red, white, and blue plaid suit. It was fucked up. It was bad. And so I got all dressed up and had my little penny loafers on. And I was playing like Battlestar Galactica Cylons in my room. And I like, Jeffrey, your sister's boyfriend is out front. They were engaged to get married. And I was so angry at this phantom guy coming into our house. I didn't know who he was. I just hated him already. And again, crackwees and wee-wees and things like that. The men and women were different. And he was an enemy. So he comes in. And they go, Jeffrey, get out of here. Marty's here. And this nice guy, big kind of hulking guy. And he squats down like on his haunches, like gets down low and puts his arms out. And I run down the hallway that, I used to run down naked to get my pajamas and stuff. And I run down right at him. And he's got his arms out. And I had nothing in my mind. I had no plan of attack. I just kicked him square in the balls.
And you've probably seen some movie or something where that was funny.
I don't know,
funny.
Man. I just felt like he was like if when
you expected it to make a boing noise.
When Han Solo is sitting having dinner with Lando Calrissian and Darth Vader walks in, he just starts shooting. He doesn't say anything. He just goes, zap, 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 and he goes, and he blocks it. But like when you see an enemy, you just attack. And I ran out and went bang and hit him. And if you don't have balls, a 4-year-old's penny loafers can do the job. Absolutely. And all I remember was I hit him. Everyone went, oh! there were about 15 people in attendance. And no one saw that coming. Least of whom, Marty. And the whole place went, oh! And Marty tipped over like a fucking just like a Jenga. It went right over, and I hung a hard right and ran out the front door and climbed a tree. And there's an awesome tree out front. I'm like, fuck this guy. I'm gonna climb a tree. Be a kid. Fuck you. Get fucking.
It's like when a cat runs into a wall, it just starts licking itself. Like, yeah, you caught me in the middle of my run into a wall, then lick myself regimen. Yeah,
so I bone out. I get out. I'm out front. I'm climbing a tree, and I hear like a combination of laughter, horror, moaning. Marty's having a medical emergency. everybody's laughing. Some people are like, just like it was chaos inside the house. I could hear it. So I'm climbing a tree, and I'm up there in a tree. I remember this so vividly. I was got to be 4 years old. Beautiful day, Southern California, the wind is blowing. It's like, oh, I was like, this is the stuff. You know, I just took down that motherfucker, and I climbing my tree. I think the instinct was to like go be king of the castle, like get high, like go at, like, you know, you separate yourself, go back to heaven, you know, where gods live, where titans dwell. And then I fell out the tree because I was wearing penny loafers, and you don't gain a lot of purchase with a fucking footing on a tree with the penny loafer on, and I fell straight backwards. And if I had not got my foot caught in like in a crotch of a limb, my foot got and caught me, I would have broken my neck and probably died. Oh, the kids are pretty supple. But I fell to my death and got caught, and now I'm hanging upside down by one foot. And at 4 years old, I don't have the core strength to...
You'll get that later at 25. You'll be like,
yeah, when I learn to stop kicking people in the balls. So I'm trying to... And then at some point, now I'm out of steam because dinner is about to happen, and I decide to kick a dude in the balls. Climb a tree, and now I'm alone. And what I can't do is appeal for help.
Yeah.
So I was out there with the blood rushing in my head for what I think was an hour. And finally, people got worried about me, and it came out. And then there was more laughter. And guess who came and got me? Yeah.
Uncle.
Fucking Mario. Yeah. That was the worst.
We had a tweet that came in 21 minutes ago to at Harmontown. It said, "Finish your Indiana Jones tangent."
Oh, your pitch. You're going to make an Indiana Jones movie. Wait, was that what it is? The ride.
Well, we went on the ride. We went to Disneyland. We went on the ride. It was fun. Happy Slater.
Slater?
Is that a reference to my show?
I don't like the ride that much. I've been on it. I remember when it came out. I was very excited about it, but like, it's not the best.
Disneyland has a weird hypnotic thing going where you're so satisfied with so little. They do so many things so right. I can't figure it out. We went to Magic Mountain together,
right?
And that's all just about thrills, chills, and spills. And I haven't been paid to tell you that. But that's just walking around a park like you're going from one roller coaster to another. The most terrifying one of all, the X2 or whatever, because they won't fucking tell you what it is. Everything is like, oh, well, it's the Cocoa Puffs ride. Yeah, you're crazy for Cocoa Puffs. You have to help me find more cocoa on this ride.
It's the best
ride.
And
so you go like, well, this is stupid.
But they used to
find cocoa. But the X2 thing, just the whole ride, they keep going, are you ready for this? Do you know what you're doing? Well, are you sure? Have you said goodbye to your loved ones?
They changed it because when it was just X, have you guys been to Magic Mountain and been on X or X2? Fucking good. If you like scary rides. But the original, I'm certain of this, I went on it like 3 times. The original X, you know, when you're like keep your hands and arms inside the train at all times, like that little spiel you get. The X one was like, everybody, you're about to be on X. X is a thrilling experience. And like, make sure that you like you leave your keys with somebody you trust because you're about to go on X. And it's really crazy. And like drink some orange juice.
Your jaw may wiggle a little bit.
But they were really preparing
expect
you for
unsolicited it. Back rubs and. expressions of intent to call one another more often. Millennials will call it E. I was told by some guy that came in for some pitch meeting, he was telling me about the 4 stages that generations go through. He's like, baby boomers are the blah 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 generation, and then Generation X is this. They always react to the previous generation, and then the next. It sounded like it was such bullshit. I can't articulate. I wanted to like throw a rock at the guy's head because I was like, "What are you saying? You're just saying what your brain wants to be the case." There's nothing entertaining about this tangent. It was so interesting to me because of course we all think in rhythms of 4, but we're all projecting like, "Oh yeah, remember that World War II generation? Like they sat around saying that." No. Let's be a big generation and go fight World War II. Yeah. You know, we spent the entire day, as people do at Disneyland, talking about all the many people who have died at Disneyland.
Right.
Which alarms me, because I have to figure that that means like 40 people die at Magic Mountain every week and no one talks about it. But like, there's like 15 things. If you go Google it, you know, Google Disneyland deaths, it's very interesting. The most horrific one is the Mark Twain boats coming in.
I wasn't working that day, but I was an employee of Disneyland when that happened. I could have been, and I did a show right in front of that. It could have happened right there.
I was there with Gorley, and you were there too. And he was saying, yeah, I worked here when that Smoke Mountain decapitation happened or something. Like what was it? Thunder Mountain, the railroad? Yeah. Like some kid got disconnected and then...
you break his neck
the people. There's two groups of people. The people that know what I'm talking about, and the people that are like, get to your fucking point. And I'm sorry about that. I want to describe the one Disneyland death that is amazing to me.
Yeah.
It's Mark Twain boat coming in.
It's so gross.
And when it comes around... If it's beyond a certain speed, you're supposed to let it go all the way around. Like, and the people on board, it happens sometimes. They go, "What the fuck?" And they're, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming in too fast. Wouldn't want a horrible thing to happen, so we're going all the way around." And I'm sure everyone's like, "Fuck you, you fucking dick!"
Also,
I got a fast pass to fucking Green Lantern's asshole.
Have you ever seen?
I gotta be there at 10:30, or I'm gonna fucking lose the time of my life. You're fucking around with me, you fucking bureaucrats. What they don't know is that what happens when you don't do that. Is this the riverboat came in a little too fast? The manager on duty didn't know enough to like.
I think
he
was not the regular guy.
I'm not sure how much is apocryphal, as you say, a word I learned from you. How much isn't? But I read this on many websites, and they had animated GIFs on the side that were like but skulls that had mouse ears on them. So I think this is the real story. The riverboat came in. They didn't. They tied it off, even though it was coming in too fast. The rope went taut, and the first thing that happened is it. What? How are you supposed to say taut?
Taut. You say tout?
Tout.
No, a tout is a guy that gives you tips at a racetrack.
Bagel.
Bagel.
Fuck you guys. Honestly, if you're gonna teach people English, I only ever read these words. I never heard anyone say them. My mom never said tout. Taut.
Tout?
I read it. I know what it means.
Dan still says bagel. It's a bagel.
It's a bag. The first three letters are bag. You put shit in a bag. You guys are dicks, you know? I just don't get it, and one day you will. The rope stretches across
it goes hanky panky.
That was embarrassing. I'm sorry about that. Across the shins of the guy who called for the tying off of the thing, snaps both of his shins in half because it goes so tight. That's chapter one. I wouldn't even mention this story if that's all that happened. The rope then pulls on the metal cleat in the dock so hard that the metal cleat uproots from the wood and slingshots at the speed of sound across Disneyland and explodes a dude's head.
Yeah, and from what I remember, and again, who knows how much is apocryphal or not, but one guy's foot got mostly severed, I believe, and it went through a guy's head who got mostly decapitated.
There was like also,
and the dude's shoe, the guy's shoe, I don't know how familiar you are with Frontierland, but apparently the dude's foot, the guy's shoe landed in the Mexican restaurant, it's not right there. It's like it's a long way for a shoe to go if your foot's still in it.
Yeah, the Frontierland is. You'd be racist to assume Frontierland is right where the Mexican restaurants are. It was in a civilized, it was a Tomorrowland adjacent Mexican restaurant that served only progressive Mexican food. Yeah. They had hologram refried beans and laser churros.
Laser churros.
Anyways, you've left out the important part. That wasn't the shoe had the foot still in it.
I believe so. The thing went through a guy's face and knocked his head off, and there was blood everywhere apparently. And then it went through a guy's foot, and the foot landed in someone's enchilada, and then it's in the news for an hour because Disneyland owns the entire goddamn world, and they go, "Hey, everybody, you can run this for 24 hours, and then if you run it again, will shut you down. Like,
By the time the newspapers ran it, the story was that Disneyland had a new severed foot world. They had created a whole mythology. There were costume characters. There was a mayor of severed foot world. There was a new ride. Mark Ruffalo was there. Everyone was pretending to have one foot, and they were singing a song that was written by Randy Newman. It was it's a dystopia. Yeah. It's a dystopic
you
nightmare.
Got a foot in your food.
I don't
you got
need
a foot in your food. I don't need no foot because I'm not in the mood. I said you got a foot in your food.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown. Adam, everybody. One more time for Adam. Thank you all for coming. All right. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. We love you. Dan Harmon, I'm Jeff Davis. Thank you, everybody here at Nerd Melt. Halloween. Everybody dress as Jared, for fuck's sake. We're going to get it on.
It's the...